I'm Sophia, and welcome to What We Need to Know About Ukraine. Here, I learn about Ukrainian history, literature, and culture, and share my findings with you. The Revolution of Dignity, also known as the Euromaidan, is a series of violent and peaceful protests throughout Ukraine with the center in Kyiv in the winter of 2013-2014, which led to the overthrow of the government, as well as Ukraine taking a definite stance on its values and position in the world. It was a major turning point in Ukraine's history. Ukraine's Revolution of Dignity started as the Euromaidan in Kyiv at the end of November 2013. The reasons for a Euromaidan were many. The president at the time was Viktor Yanukovych, a man that also had the Orange Revolution against him. He and his ruling party have implemented negative changes in the government, like changing the constitution to give the president more power, poorly managing the economy, as well as Russification. This consisted in the decrease of Ukrainian language information products on state television and the increase in the share of Russian products and cultural events on television and on radio. Russian symbols, which are not characteristic of Ukrainian culture, spread in Ukraine during Yanukovych's presidency, during cultural proceedings. This policy served to create a persistent perception of the inferiority of Ukrainian culture and the division of Ukrainian society, therefore causing the indignation of ordinary Ukrainians and, in particular, the Ukrainian intelligentsia. But these were not the only changes. There was also the degradation of the financial system, destruction of small businesses, and the Kharkiv agreements, which were signed with the Russian Federation and which allowed Russia's fleet to stay 30 more years in Crimea in exchange for cheaper gas for Ukraine, even though Ukraine's gas problem was not improved and Russia continued to put ultimatums to Ukraine in that area. The signing of the agreements was contradictory to the constitution of Ukraine. The presence of a wide range of prerequisites for the emergence of protests in the cultural, economic, legal, social, and other components of public life led to the emergence of a classic revolutionary situation in Ukraine at the end of 2013. However, these were not the main reasons for the creation of the protests. Another very important cause was the abrupt stopping of Ukraine's association with the European Union by Ukraine's president. During the lengthy development of the agreements with the EU, in particular trade agreements, Ukraine's trade with Russia was constantly decreasing. In general, the reduction reached 25% of the initial trade amount. At that time, Russia repeatedly made statements that Ukraine does not take Russia's interests into account during negotiations with the European Union. At the same time, Russia, as one of the effective means of quote-unquote proving its economic interests, has repeatedly created obstacles for Ukrainian exports to Russia, and blocking the export of the products of Ukrainian chocolate company Rochen, for example, has even been called the chocolate war. At the end of November, the Cabinet of Ministers of Ukraine, at its meeting, adopted an order according to which the process of preparation for the signing of the association agreement between Ukraine and the European Union and their member states was suspended. There was further opposition of the government to the European integration course. The government, and especially its prime minister, made statements about the quote-unquote unprofitability of the European integration course. He stated that the budget will be formed based on the results of his visit to Moscow, that Ukraine will not be visa-free with the EU unless Russia approves. President Viktor Yanukovych agreed to receive $15 billion from Russia through Russia's purchase of Ukrainian securities and denied that Russia used blackmail and launched a trade war against Ukraine to prevent the signing of the association agreement. A statement was made that, quote, no one in the EU wants Ukraine to join. On the 29th of November, Yanukovych did not sign the agreement, which he was supposed to that day, and the first protests started to appear. It was the youth that came out onto the streets at first. Young people and university students. They were the generation that wanted to remove themselves from the Soviet Union, communism, and the old way of life of their parents and grandparents. They came to stand up for the future of Europe in the European Union, where there is freedom and democratic values. The largest of such protests arose in Kyiv, on Independence Square. At 4 in the morning, or sooner at night, there were only about 100 people in Independence Square. Nothing that would create much notice, and it consisted of university students and young people in general. At night, however, the head of the Ministry of Internal Affairs and Communications of Ukraine in Kyiv ordered the violent dispersal of the peaceful protesters in the capital. So at 4 in the morning, when, like I said, about 100 protesters were on the Independence Square, phone connection disappeared and 300 Berkut fighters, and Berkut was the Ukrainian system of special police or riot police until 2014, armed with special equipment, surrounded the square and, with the excessive use of force, pushed people out of the square. People were beaten with batons and kicked. As a result, 84 protesters were injured. The excuse that the government gave was the alleged installation of a New Year's tree on Independence Square. At 4 a.m. on November 30th, that does not seem believable at all. In response to the beating of the students, that very same day, thousands of Kyiv citizens and guests of the capital gathered on Mykhailivka Square, where some of the beaten people from Independence Square were. In the afternoon, a spontaneous rally broke out on Mykhailivka Square. The leaders of three opposition parties decided to join the protesters and announced the decision to create the National Resistance Headquarters. The next day, according to various estimates, from 500,000 to 1 million protesters took to the streets and squares of Kyiv. That was the day of the anniversary of the referendum on sovereignty that happened in 1991. On the same day, members of the opposition created a Euromaidan coordination center in Kyiv, the headquarters of National Resistance, and this was located in the House of Trade Unions of Ukraine. The Party of Regions, which was the ruling party, tried holding rallies in support of itself in Donetsk City, the city from where the president was from and had many connections, but was unable to gather a sufficient number of participants, which indicates that the party has lost public support. Donetsk is considered the traditional homeland of Yanukovych and the Party of Regions. A few days after the beginning of the protests, the Party of Regions set up the Anti-Maidan, which was a pro-government rally that was formed from a group of people collectively known as the Tsitushki. This was a name for mercenaries, often criminals, young men that were used by Yanukovych to exert physical force and participate in mass clashes. In particular, they were used to hinder the activities of the opposition activists and to act against street protests. They would use provocations, burning cars, intimidation, beating and dispersing demonstrations, influencing the process of voting and elections, etc. The use of this criminal gang formation of Tituski by civil servants of law enforcement agencies and special services against the democratic action of the Euromaidan has been officially recognized. They were usually paid or bribed for their actions by the authorities, and there were around 2,000 of these people in early December. In the morning of December 6, demonstrators from the Democratic Alliance started a sit-down protest in front of the Prosecutor General's office. The protest was to demand the release of 9 youths arrested on suspicion of organizing mass riots in Kyiv on December 1st, by removing suspicion from them, which the Prosecutor General had the right to do. Activists from the Maidan lay at all entrances to the Prosecutor General's office in such a way that it was possible to enter the building only by stepping over them. "You have stepped over the law, step over the Ukrainian citizens as well," was the message of the party. The protesters offered the employees of the office to sign a petition for the release of the arrested activists. The employees, though, wearing expensive mink jackets, stepped over the protesters to enter the building. They were followed by crowds chanting shame. In the meantime, in Vasilkiv, a town in Kyiv Oblast, residents blocked Berkut special police units from leaving their stations. Police was telling residents that they would be going to Odessa, but the people that were blocking said that they didn't trust them and knew that they would be sent to Kyiv. In a few days, Berkut managed to get through the blockade and indeed went on to Kyiv. Already on December 8th, the March of Millions took place in Kyiv, which estimates of more than 1 million participants. A striking video of Independence Square and around it in Ukraine, taken from the top of the capital's Christmas tree on that day, truly shows the massive scale of this march and Maidan in general. I will include a link to this 3-minute video in the description. That day, it was decided by the protesters to block the presidential administration, government buildings, and other institutions. At the same time, a small, of up to 15,000 people, rally was held in support of President Yanukovych. Some of the people brought to the rally tried to escape, but the rally's armed guards caught them and returned them back to the rally. Due to the lack of willing people, the recruiters of Tituschki raised their rates of up to $100 per day of standing at a pro-Yanukovych rally. On the same day, a monument to Lenin was demolished in Kyiv. The leaders of the revolution commented on this event with humor. Quote, "Lenin fell from envy because Lenin started one revolution and Yanukovych two." End of quote. That, of course, referred to the Orange Revolution. Barricades began to be erected in the government quarter of the city on this day as well. Barricades were made of tires, sheets of metal, wood, and anything else possible. People, of course, stayed at the Maidan overnight and for long periods of time that lasted from hours to days. People brought firewood to keep warm throughout the winter, as well as food, tea, some chairs and blankets. Some people would practice getting through the Burkut shields with their own self-made ones, as well as fighting and self-defense. There were tents set up and some spaces and buildings were available where people could get rest, sleep, get warm, receive some food, and get medical help from the volunteers and doctors on duty. No one got turned away if the medical emergency was serious, and ambulance would get called to take the person to the hospital. The next day, units of internal troops began encircling the government quarter and Independence Square. After noon, water cannons and fire engines were prepared to be deployed against the protesters. Prisoner transport vehicles were driven in, and the subway in the city center was blocked. In response, opposition leaders called on women and children to leave the square and protester-controlled buildings. Opposition deputies began negotiations with the commanders of the units of internal forces. An hour later, priests stood in between the Euromaidan barricades and the security forces. It was reported that there were enough forces to defend the Maidan, and the authorities are conducting a psychological pressure campaign. At that time, there were quite a few women among the protesters. That day, the ambassadors and diplomats of EU embassies came to the Euromaidan. There were attempts in the next few days by the Ukrainian government to push the protesters out of the Maidan, but even more supporters showed up to protect people's will. There were people from all over Ukraine, from Lviv to Crimea. During the months of the revolution, patriotic feelings were on the rise in the country. Blue and yellow flags were seen on every building and every car. People would sing Ukrainian songs and dance in the streets. People understood how important it was to be Ukrainian and what it meant for them. Meanwhile, President Yanukovych visited Russia to sign some documents which quite favored the Russian Federation. The people at the Euromaidan in Kyiv, with the aim of deepening, expanding, and further coordinating activities of the protest, decided to create a nationwide organization called the All-Ukrainian Association Maidan. Ukrainians also celebrated Christmas and New Year's while protesting outside. Throughout the protests, the Ukrainian anthem and the phrase Slava Ukraini, Glory to Ukraine, could be heard. With these words and dances and songs, Ukrainians met the new year. There was also a stage where many politicians, celebrities, singers, and dancers spoke and performed throughout the peaceful weeks of the protests. On January 16, 2014, the pro-government majority in the Verkhovna Rada, which is the Ukrainian parliament, adopted a package now known as the Laws on Dictatorship, which, according to most experts, limited the rights of citizens, gave state authorities greater freedom and action in the sphere of punishing participants in protest actions, and aimed to criminalize the opposition and civil society. Laws were adopted without debate or discussion. Their adoption became the government's reaction to the mass protests by the citizens, and their norms were to some extent borrowed from the norms of the Russian legislation, and some were even stricter than their Russian counterparts. The adoption of these laws caused a new wave of protests, some of which were openly mocking them. In general, the adoption of these laws only increased the number of people dissatisfied with the authorities and increased the activity of the protesters. This started the second, more violent phase of the protest, and yet not even the most violent just yet. The next day, a number of public organizations announced a full mobilization on Independence Square in Guiyu. They called for massive and immediate resistance to criminals in power. Despite armed confrontation, including stones and Molotov cocktails, the protesters in general used humane methods of treatment of prisoners, releasing the detained Berkut soldiers and tituszki after an educational conversation that included the performance of the national anthem and a public apology to the people. During the confrontation, in addition to stones and Molotov cocktails, the rebels built throwing machines, like a trebuchet, a giant slingshot, and a potato cannon. At the same time, supporters of the government, quote-unquote unidentified persons, special forces fighters, and tituszki used inhumane methods, including kidnapping, torturing, and killing activists. They would also torture people by forcing them to undress on camera in the freezing cold, which in general indicates the extreme brutality of the authorities. Tituszki not only interacted with the special forces, but also used firearms. In the last phase of the confrontation, the pro-government forces massively used automatic weapons, sniper rifles, and armored personnel carriers against the protesters. Automatic weapons were also issued to tituszki, a large majority of whom were criminals. On January 19th, around 3 p.m., there were numerous clashes between protesters trying to get to the Verkhovna Rada building, which is Ukraine's parliament. Stun grenades, rubber bullets, batons, water cannons, Molotov cocktails, and stones were used against the protesters. It was negative 6 degrees Celsius, and the use of water cannons at a below-freezing temperature is prohibited by the Ukrainian law. There was, of course, no care for law within the government. Protesters used firecrackers, Molotov cocktails, stones, slingshots, and they even managed to burn 5 units of special equipment, the remains of which were used as a basis for a barricade. On the night of January 22nd, protesters and fans of the Dynamo Kyiv football club continued to catch tituszki. Football fans from the cities of Dnipro and Kharkiv went to help the football fans of Kyiv to counter the governmental powers. Ukrainian football fans played a large part in Ukraine's revolution of dignity with the strong opposition of the Russian invasion in the east. They were patriotic, strong, and ready to fight. Around 8 a.m., after a long truce, the Berkut special unit suddenly went on the offensive. The protesters retreated, after which the barricades were partially dismantled. At 9 a.m., the protesters managed to regain their lost positions. And at 9:20, 2 protesters were killed by sniper bullets. Another man died earlier in seemingly an accident. At around 11 o'clock, several thousand special forces launched a mass offensive and pushed the protesters back along Grushevsky Street to European Square. In the afternoon, the special forces retreated to their previous positions, where an armored personnel carrier also appeared. That same day, in the afternoon, the meeting of the president with the leaders of the opposition began. The negotiations lasted for about 3 hours and turned out to be fruitless. The opposition leaders said that they were going to give Yanukovych 24 hours to think, after which they were ready to lead the protesters on the offensive. On the night of the 23rd of January, in order to counter a possible assault, instead of building barricades, protesters lit a bonfire from car tires, which together formed a solid wall of fire and smoke. Attempts by security forces to extinguish the fire using water cannons and fire hydrants were unsuccessful, and because of this, the night against the 23rd passed relatively calmly. Meanwhile, Ukrainians at the Euromaidan in Kyiv, after the opposition leaders' report on the results of the negotiations, assessed that the government's position was delaying time and decided to withdraw from the negotiation process and peacefully expand Euromaidan. On January 27th in Kyiv, the protesters won an important tactical victory. A temporary Kyiv government was formed. Until this moment, Yanukovych and the Party of Regions prevented the holding of local elections in Kyiv in every possible way. Together with Kyiv, 10 regional administrations were under the control of the protesters, mostly in the western part of the country, as well as in Poltava. The establishment of power in Kyiv weakened Yanukovych's position. The next day, Ukraine's prime minister resigned, quote, in order to create additional opportunities for social and political compromise for the sake of a peaceful settlement of the conflict, end quote. The president accepted the resignation and signed the decree on the resignation of the prime minister of Ukraine and the cabinet of ministers of Ukraine. A few days later, the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe adopted a position on Ukraine. They decided that the issue of sanctions against Ukrainian authorities may be considered in April if human rights violations continue in Ukraine and in the event of violent crackdown on the Maidan. The Assembly condemned the escalation of violence during the protests, which resulted in at least 5 victims at that time. The Ukrainian authorities were urged to enter into an open, honest, and effective negotiations with the opposition. Russia, however, was reminded of its obligation to abandon pressure on other countries. The day after, Viktor Yanukovych signed an act on the abolition of the dictatorial laws. On the day when the parliament was supposed to consider possible changes to the constitution, February 18th, that is, the parliament building was approached by protesters, most of whom, given the peaceful nature of the march, were without any weapons commonly used in self-defense by the people, like stones and Molotov cocktails. Special forces, however, met the protesters with water cannons and gas. At the same time, the demonstrators were attacked from the side by a significant force of security forces and tsitushki, as a result of which the column of the demonstrators was cut into several separate parts, which were dispersed. This led to the renewal of violent confrontation between the protesters and the security forces. Combat operations were conducted in particular with the use of firearms. Several people died on both sides. The military forces pushed the protesters out of controlled positions in Independence Square. From around 7 p.m. to 11 p.m., the opposition Channel 5 was blacked out across Ukraine. At 8 p.m., so during the time of more limited coverage, special forces launched an assault on the Maidan from the side of the European Square in Institutska Street using armored vehicles. 2 armored personnel carriers were destroyed by the protesters. On the night of February 19th, storming of government buildings took place in Lviv, Ivano-Frankivsk, and Ternopil. Around 4 o'clock in the morning, the active assault resumed. In total, the continuous assault lasted 17 hours. In the morning, the position of the protesters became critical. The perimeter of the Maidan was defended by approximately 300 to 400 active fighters. Around 8 a.m., the first reinforcements arrived. About 100 people from Lviv, and an hour later, about the same from Ternopil. Buses with reinforcements from all over Ukraine, those who wanted to help the protesters, continued to arrive at the Maidan. Those who could make their own way to the capital did so, and some people gathered together in buses to be brought straight to the action. As of the morning of February 19th, the number of dead was 25, including 9 employees of law enforcement and 16 citizens. On the same day, the president found a quote-unquote legally justified possibility of using firearms by special forces, despite the lack of support for the introduction of state of emergency by the parliament. The government began preparation for a quote-unquote anti-terrorist operation, according to the rules of which law enforcement has the right to use firearms, go into any premises, etc. At the same time, the area of the operation remained undefined, that is, the operation was carried out on the whole territory of the entire country. February 20th was known as Bloody Thursday. On the morning of this day, pro-government Berkut fighters have retreated from Independence Square. Some think that the reason for that was because they were demoralized in some way or another. And some think that the retreat of the security forces from Maidan, as well as the withdrawal from the building of the Verkhovna Rada, were carried out on purpose, to provoke the rebels to seize the parliament building, as a result of which Yanukovych could gain full power in the country and the opposition would lose their immunity of inviolability. Around 9 a.m., Maidan went on the offensive, protected by wooden shields, and despite the intense sniper fire, quickly regained all the positions lost on the 18th and expanded the controlled zone. The most brutal and bloody confrontation took place on Institutska Street, where more than 500 protesters died, mostly from sniper bullets. On this day, 408 assault rifles and 90,000 cartridges were issued to tituszki from the mobilization warehouses in the Ministry of Internal Affairs. On the same day and later, several videos appeared on the internet, showing security forces firing guns and rifles at unarmed Euromaidan protesters on Institutska Street. The fire broke out from several points, including from the windows of the building of the National Bank of Ukraine. People on this day united even more. Kyivans formed self-defense units and would patrol the capital. Those who cared also went to hospitals, in an endless stream, bringing medicine, clothes, and bed linen. Everything for the wounded was brought to Maidan, also medicine and warm things. After a bloody morning, people were preparing for a night of resistance. Snipers shot at unarmed people. People were shot like in a shooting range. They also aimed at those who tried to drag away the already killed and wounded. The dead would be brought to Maidan. Dozens of people were shot in the head, heart, and neck. They were mourned right then and there. The whole world reacted to the execution of unarmed participants of the Revolution of Dignity. The ministers of foreign affairs of the EU countries came to Kyiv to persuade the Ukrainian authorities not to go against their people. A wave of popular resistance was rolling across Ukraine. In the West, people were forcing Berkut not to carry out criminal orders, and in Dnipropetrovsk region, people stopped a train with armed paratroopers. They blocked the train as early as 9 in the morning, as soon as they found out that their soldier relatives were being sent to Kyiv. At the same time as the attack on Maidan, the special forces on Institutska Street were attacked by units of protesters from other directions. As the result of which, Berkut forces were surrounded, and some of them began to surrender to the protesters. On the same day, storming and seizure of buildings of the Security Service of Ukraine, the Ministry of Internal Affairs, and the Prosecutor's Office began in cities in western Ukraine. In Khmelnytsky, automatic fire was opened from doors and gates on citizens gathered around the building of the local Security Service of Ukraine administration. One man died, and two were seriously injured. Considering the military success of the Maidan and the demoralization in the security forces and the pro-government camp, some mainly opposition deputies gathered in the Ukrainian parliament at around 5 p.m. in the evening, and after a long discussion of about 5 hours, they adopted a resolution on the illegality of the anti-terrorist operation and the withdrawal of all units of the security forces to places of permanent deployment. On the same day, in the evening, negotiations between European ministers and the opposition began with Yanukovych, as a result of which Yanukovych agreed to early presidential elections no later than December 2014, and the opposing parties had to surrender their weapons within 24 hours. In the evening, coffins with dead rebels were carried in front of the main stage of the Maidan. As it is believed, it was on this day that Russia began the annexation of Crimea, which later turned into Russian aggression against Ukraine, the war in the east of Ukraine, and the Russian invasion of Ukraine, meaning that it was on this day that Russia began its war against Ukraine. Information from the leaders of the opposition about the results of the negotiations caused outrage in Maidan. Leaders of the Maidan demanded that Yanukovych quit presidency by 10 o'clock the next day, or they will go on an assault with weapons. Some units of Berkut were withdrawn from Kyiv. As it became known later, during the withdrawal of the forces, the weapons that were used against the peaceful protesters of Maidan were destroyed and drowned in the lake. That same day, Ukraine's parliament reinstated the 2004 constitution. The next day, the chairman of the Parliament of Ukraine resigned from his position. The Parliament of Ukraine removed Viktor Yanukovych from the post of President of Ukraine, and Yanukovych ran away to Russia. A number of top officials were also dismissed. On the same day, Lenin monuments were toppled in Dnipro, Mykolaiv, Kherson, and other cities, where the left and the Party of Regions had traditionally held strong positions before the revolution. And on Maidan, or Independence Square, people were saying goodbye to the ones that died for Ukraine during the Revolution of Dignity. They are now known as the Heavenly Hundred, since more than 100 protesters were killed during the revolution. More than 1,300 were injured. The song Pliva Kacha, A Duckling Swims, sounded as the final farewells were happening. It is a Ukrainian folk song that was a favorite of one of the protesters that was killed. The song's lyrics and the meaning have led to it being frequently used in memorials for killed protesters in Euromaidan, the Revolution of Dignity, and the Russo-Ukrainian War, with it being called the unofficial anthem for the fallen protesters and soldiers. The song will play at the end of the episode. And now to the consequences and the results. The main geopolitical consequence of the revolution was the withdrawal of Ukraine from Russia's sphere of influence in the economic and political spheres, and a relative decrease in dependence on Russia in the cultural sphere. In the economic sphere, Ukraine's exit from Russia's zone of influence took place due to a significant reduction in dependence on energy imports from Russia, which were critical for Ukraine's economy previously to that. In the political sphere, the reduction of dependence on Russia was achieved both as a result of the war between Ukraine and Russia and due to the cleansing of the political system of Ukraine from pro-Russian forces as a result of the presidential, parliamentary, and local elections held in Ukraine. In the military political sphere, the neutral status of Ukraine was cancelled, which marked the exit of Ukraine from the buffer zone between the Western world and Russia, and a large-scale reform of the armed forces of Ukraine was initiated. In the cultural sphere, the reduction of dependence took place as a result of restrictions on concert activities in Ukraine for actors who publicly supported Putin's aggressive policies and a ban on the broadcast of some Russian TV and film productions that promoted or glorified Russian power structures and imperial policies. The Revolution of Dignity also led Ukrainians to better understand who they are and what their values are. The European Union and the West as a whole had an improved view of who are Ukrainians. The Ukrainians themselves started consciously thinking and choosing to be Ukrainian and striving to live in the way that they wanted to. The Revolution of Dignity was first and foremost a revolution of dignity. Ukrainians fought against the repressive and corrupt government since they believed that the government should do what its people wanted to do. Otherwise, it's not a good government. Ukrainians fought to be in the European Union. They fought for their freedom, will, and to be treated with respect and listened to. They had dignity and they had power. They fought for their future. Even in a terrifying and uncertain present, they wanted a sovereign and democratic Ukraine. The Revolution of Dignity achieved many of its goals, even though it had its shortcomings as well. Many reforms followed Ukraine's Revolution of Dignity, and many of the people fighting on Maidan went straight to the east to fight the Russian invasion. The Revolution of Dignity was a showcase of strength, support, hope, and determination.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining me today, and this was What We Need to Know About Ukraine This Week.